Well, joke if you like, but I love steam.
Well, then why don't you take a Turkish bath?
Charlie, it would require hours to describe the myriad uses of steam.
Uh-huh.
Now, take a boat.
Go ahead, take it. Bon voyage to you, too.
Chap. Oh, am I interrupting you, Edgar?
Yes, and I appreciate it, Ray.
Yeah. Charlie and I were discussing steam, Ray.
Oh, yes?
I suppose you know what steam is.
Oh, rather, yes. Steam, yeah. Smog with a high fever.
No,
wait a minute, Charlie. No, that was my joke, and you stepped on it.
Well, so I did. But it was still crawling, and I didn't want it to get away. Oh.
Perhaps I can explain steam this way. Ray, did you ever watch a tea kettle?
Oh, yes, old boy, for hours.
Yeah, and what were you thinking about?
Tea.
Oh. Yeah.
And that concludes tonight's lecture on steam.
No. You seem very anxious to avoid the subject.
Well, I shouldn't wonder, Edgar, after all the trouble he got into with that steam shovel yesterday. Oh, dear.
Steam shovel?
Yeah.
Charlie?
Yeah, well, it's a lie.
It's a lie?
Yeah.
What is?
Anything I say from now on.
Yeah. Oh, so that's what you thought I meant when I mentioned the steam shovel.
Yeah.
Well, all right. What happened?
Well, now, Bertie, it was like this. There stood that old steam shovel there all alone, see, with no operator in it. So, I figured it must be one of those you-drive steam shovels.
I hope you didn't do any damage. I beg your pardon?
Yes.
I say I hope you didn't do any damage.
Oh, yeah. Well, hope springs eternal.
Yeah.
But in this case, the spring is busted.
I see. All right, let's have the gruesome details then.
Well, you see, there I was on this steam shovel. I was just chugging along at a merry clip.
Yeah.
When I came to this tunnel.
Uh-huh. What tunnel?
Well, I just dug it. I haven't named it yet.
Oh, is that the whole story?
No, that's just the story of the hole.
I see.
I was doing all right till I hit that water main. Yeah. Beverly Hills is now a seaport.
Is that the end?
Of Act One, yes. Uh-huh. Act Two starts with the steam shovel heading for Van Snort's estate.
Uh-oh. Yeah. What about that high hedge around it?
It now has a poodle haircut. Uh-huh.
So that was the end
of Act Two, yes, I see. Want to try for intermission?
No. Where was Mrs. Van Snort?
Well, she was giving a party on the lawn. Two scoops later, the lawn was on the party. I sure got the dirt on high society.
No.
Mortimer, go ahead. Now, make your speech.
No. Okay. Hush up out there. To all my Irish friends, happy Saint...
Saint what?
Bernard?
No. Patrick.
No.
Patrick.
Well, my name is Lordiner.
Yeah, I know it. Now, you see, you would have done much better if you'd come here a little earlier and memorized your speech.
Well, you see, Mr. Bergen, I was late because I had to stop for a bite.
Stop for a bite?
Yeah.
Where?
Well, on my leg. You see, a dog. A dog took a liking to it.
Oh, he did. Did you put iodine on it?
Well, what for? He liked it the way it was. He liked it.
Never mind. I suppose it'll be all right.
Yeah, I suppose it.
Tell me, Mortimer, now, what's new on your farm?
Well, we just had another blessed event.
Blessed event?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's lovely.
Yeah, my incubator just became a mother. Oh.
Well, Mortimer, this is spring, and all around your farm you see nature renewing itself. The tiny buds appearing on the branches. Little green shoots rising from the earth.
Oh, gosh. Well, Mr. Bergen, yes. I knew someday you was going to tell me all about this, but I sort of hoped it would be in private.
Well, anyway, it sounds like you put in a very busy week around your farm working with the animals.
Yeah, I did.
And what did you do on your day off?
I went to the zoo.
To the zoo, yes. Did you like it?
Yeah, I was very flattered there. They offered me a job, I see. The minute I came in, the zookeeper looked at me and said, "Get him."
That's an interesting place to go. I was always fascinated by the elephants. Do you know that the elephants keep cool by fanning themselves with their ears?
No. Yeah. Well, they're wasting their time, I think. I tried it, and it don't work. No.
My favorite at the zoo happens to be the ostrich.
Well, I'm worried about them ostriches.
Why?
Well, how can they lay an egg from that height without busting it? I don't know.
There's also legends about the ostrich. They say when he's frightened, he buries his head in the sand.
No, that's kind of bad.
Why?
Well, he must get sunburned on the wrong place there, huh?
Of course, the only thing that matches an ostrich for grotesque appearances is the camel. Did you see one?
Oh, yeah. A camel? I think so, yeah. Ain't that the one that kind of looks like a cow if the cream went to the top? That was pretty good, wasn't it? That was a sort of a joke, you see?
Yeah, I see.
It's a joke, yeah. If you like one in the low-priced field.
Yeah. Mortimer, I've been talking all about my favorite animals, but you haven't told me yours.
Well, I think it's the monkeys.
Monkeys.
Yeah. We sort of favor each other.
Yeah. Well, I can see why. Monkeys really seem almost human.
Yeah. But they had sense enough to stop in time. Yeah.
Chirping like that, spring can't be far away. But as any busy housewife will tell you, spring means a lot more than the song of a bird in the treetop. Yes, unfortunately, spring also means spring cleaning. Long hours of washing, ironing, scrubbing, sweeping, dusting and polishing too. And what did grandmother ever do without the vacuum cleaner? Well, one thing a lot of grandmothers did is the same thing their granddaughters do today. They took time out once in a while for a frosty bottle of Coca-Cola. For grandmother knew what we all know today, that at spring cleaning time, just as at any other time of the year, there's really no pause like the pause that refreshes with ice-cold Coca-Cola.
Ladies and gentlemen, tonight our guest is the celebrated recording artist, Miss Jo Stafford. I'm sure you all know her unique styling of popular melodies, but perhaps you don't know that she's extremely interested in American folk songs, so much so that she gives a yearly prize for research in musical Americana. One of the loveliest of these folk tunes is the one she sings for us now, Nightingale. Here she is, Jo Stafford.
A brave volunteer. the nightingale sing. Good soldier, good soldier, will you marry me? Oh, no, pretty lady, that never can be. I've a sweetheart in London, as fair as can be. Two girls in the army, too many for me. So I'll go back to London, and I'll stay there.
Beautiful, Jojo. Say, how about dropping over to my place after the show? I'm giving a little, sort of a going away party.
Oh, who's going away?
The servants. I gave them the night off, you see. What do you say, Joe? We'll play games, like follow the leader.
Oh, Charlie, that's a kid's game.
Not when I'm the leader, it ain't.
Well, I'm really quite excited, Charlie, but I have a date with a very important and influential man.
Oh. Well, I might have known it. You're all alike. you're just like all the other beautiful women. You're worshipping at the shrine of wealth and success and power.
Oh, no, no, Charlie, just a moment.
Well, now, don't stop me, Josie. I'm going real good now. Okay, now. If that's the way you got to play the game, I'll be rich. I'll be powerful. I'll be the brains of the biggest mob in the world. I'll be big, I tell you. Big. 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 Big.
You sent for me, Big Charlie?
Yeah, Big Ray. I just spoke to Big Sam, Big Joe, Big Harry, and Big Black.
What's up?
I don't know, but it's something big.
I have a complaint, too, Big Charlie.
Yes?
Yes, we must close our poker parlors.
What?
Yes, so the game of poker is too cruel.
Poker cruel?
Oh, absolutely, yes. I happened to watch a game for the first time, and one of the chaps said to the other, I'll stand on Pat's hand, and you guys kick your auntie in the pot.
Hey, I think there's somebody at the door. Yeah. Who is it?
Let me in, boss. It's one of the mugs.
Well, which one? Danny the Dresser, Nick the Neat, Bo the Brummel.
Sam the Slob. I got a message for you.
Shove it under the door.
Okay, but it won't be easy. It's in my head.
Big Ray, this may be a trick of the cops. Yeah, it's a sneaky way for them to get in. I'll fix them. Give the secret knock.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, that's the old secret knock. Give the new one. That's it. Come in.
Yes, the DA's men got lefty. Yeah? They come in right through the front door while he was sleeping in his long snuggies.
Why, the fool, why didn't he sneak out through the bank?
He couldn't. It was buttoned down. But he didn't trip.
Good old Lefty. He always keeps his trap shut. Hello? Hello?
Hello, boss. This is Lefty up in the big house. The DA is sending over a couple of dames to turn on the charm and get you to talk. That's all I can say now. I'm on the scaffold with the rope around my neck.
Yeah, well, tell me more. What do the dames look like, Lefty? Lefty?
Sorry, your party was just hung up.
Sam, any dame stool pigeon that tries to make a sucker out of me, she gets it. Got your sawed-off shotgun handy?
Yeah, boss, but it won't work.
Why not?
I sawed off the wrong end.
Why, say, look. There's somebody coming in the back door. Probably one of the DA's glamour girls.
Can I borrow a little oil? I just developed a squeak in my joint.
Hey, lady, what are you doing with that cigar in your mouth?
My nose.
Too bad it ain't a cigar you could throw it away.
I don't understand how the DA expects to get results with a figure like yours. Really, you detour where you're supposed to take a curve.
Yeah.
Yeah. And where you're supposed to curve, you go up the road altogether.
If it wasn't for my double chin.
Well, it's not noticeable. Your lower lip hides it.
I say, you know, we're wasting time with this tool, Fenton.
Yeah.
Sam, let her have a bullet between the eyes.
Between her eyes, there ain't room for a bullet.
Don't kill me, Sam. I appeal to you as a man.
You don't even appeal to me as a woman.
Big Charlie, she's gone. You've erased her, taken her for a bit of a journey and all that sort of jolly gangster talk, you know.
Yeah, that's true.
Uh-huh.
And now, Big Ray.
Yes?
You got something on me, so... Uh-huh. So you gotta go next. Sorry.
Oh, not at all, old chef. After all, I mean, we are ruffians, you know.
Yeah.
Okay, Big Ray, where do you want it, in the head or in the back?
Well, if you don't mind, I prefer it under the arm where the hole won't show, you know.
A pleasure.
Thanks. Oh, my word. I do believe I've been perforated. Well, cheerio.
Well, Bert, I'll pack the bodies in my car.
Car? You stole a car?
Oh, I didn't steal it. It was parked by a cemetery. I figured the owner was dead. Good. Somebody else is coming in.
Yeah.
It may be another one of the DA's stoolies.
Yeah. Got your get ready? I mean, got your gat ready?
Okay.
Hello, Big Charlie. I was told to look up a certain handsome mobster. Am I in the right place?
Every bit of you, yeah.
This may be another of the D.A. Stooley's birth.
Yes.
Oh, no, I'm not with the law. Been on the lam myself. But when I heard you were in trouble, I came right over and left my hideout.
Yeah. You must be chilly with so much of it out, too.
Hey, get a load of that gown.
Yeah.
Armholes carelessly tied together.
Yeah, what a dress. I've seen more cotton in the top of an aspirin bottle.
I'm sure I could be useful.
Oh, sure.
Men admire brains in a woman, don't they?
Oh, they do. I just love to sit around a room and watch a woman cross her brains.
We could make a deal. Let's go up to Mulholland Drive and... talk it over.
Yeah, it's too crowded up there. Every guy and his brother parks up there.
Well, you're wrong, good. I've looked in all the cars parked up there, and not one guy was in there was his brother.
You seem to be a little timid, Big Charlie. Tell me, ain't you ever been kissed by a woman?
Why, sure, sure. My mother kissed me.
Your mother? Well, let me kiss you.
Oh. Huh?
There. Well, what do you say now?
Father didn't know what he was missing.
Look, I don't like this. Let's knock her off like we've done all their mothers.
Uh-huh. That's the confession the D.A. sent me to get. Stick him up, Big Charlie.
What?
A copper, boy. It's a lousy plot.
Yeah, but it's better than none at all.
You're going to get the chair, Big Charlie.
All right, so I get the chair. But first, babe, kiss me, huh?
Kiss you? Why?
Well, if I'm going to burn, I might as well start getting used to the heat now.
Now, Joe Stafford again. And this time, she brings new meaning to an old song, September in the Rain. We'll be back in a moment. But in the meantime, remember, folks, whoever you are, whatever you do, wherever you may be, when you think of refreshment, think of Coca-Cola. For Coca-Cola makes any pause the pause that refreshes. And ice-cold Coca-Cola is everywhere. And now, here's Edgar Bergen.
With just a word of thanks to Joe Stafford for her lovely songs. Next week, we're looking forward to another visit from the shining star of the Metropolitan Opera, Miss Dorothy Kirsten. So until next Sunday, then, good night, everyone.
Remember to listen to Edgar Bergen, McCarty McCarthy, brought to you by the Coca-Cola Company every Sunday. Be sure to listen to the Mario Lanza Show this coming Friday evening on another network. Consult your newspaper for time and station. This coming week is the 42nd birthday week of the Campfire Girls, the oldest organization founded in the United States for young girls. The Coca-Cola Company proudly salutes the 365,000 Campfire Girls in 2,900 communities throughout the United States and their alumni of 3 million American women.
Tonight's Edgar Bergen Show with Dee Benaderet, Edwin Max, and Viola Bond was produced and transcribed in Hollywood by Frank Hill Jr. This is Bill Baldwin reminding you that Sunday is Sunday on CBS.
This is the CBS Radio Network.
970 on your dial. You're attuned to Cook, K-O-O-K in Billings.
F-I-Wine is really fine. F-I-N-E wine. That red oval label brings cheer to your table. F-I-Wine is really fine.
F-I is F-I-N-E fine wine. Product of Fruit Industries, San Francisco.
Philip Morris Playhouse is next on Cook.
Ladies and gentlemen, the Philip Morris Playhouse on Broadway. Tonight, the Philip Morris Playhouse on Broadway presents the Philip Morris Intercollegiate Acting Competition. Tonight's vehicle, In a Lonely Place, starring Joseph Cotton with Everett Sloan, and presenting college star number 4, Mary Lou Jukes of the University of Kansas. Ladies and gentlemen, you can stop worrying about cigarette irritation and start smoking for pleasure. Pure pleasure and nothing but pleasure. Remember this important fact. Philip Morris, and only Philip Morris, is entirely free of a source of irritation used in the manufacture of all other leading cigarettes. That is the plain and simple truth about Philip Morris superiority. And that's why we say you'll be glad tomorrow you smoked Philip Morris today.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Tonight, Philip Morris continues its new series of exciting Philip Morris intercollegiate acting competitions. And tonight, Mr. Joseph Cotton stars in Dorothy B. Hughes in A Lonely Place with Everett Sloan. His co-star, let's give a Broadway welcome to our contestant, Miss Mary Lou Jukes of the University of Kansas.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. Tonight I shall play the part of Laurel Gray.
Miss Mary Lou Jukes, the judges of our competition will be ANTA, the American National Theater and Academy. The ANTA representatives, headed by Christian Westphal and Lewis Allen, are seated in our audience. Now, if you receive a higher rating than the current high of 94, scored by Robert Comstock of Rutgers last week, you will go into the $2,000 grand prize play on June 15th. My best wishes to you, and on with the show. In a Lonely Place opens in a fashionable restaurant in Hollywood, California.
Ditchfield, how are you?
I don't believe I've had the pleasure, miss.
Don't you remember me? You wrote a picture I was in at Columbia.
I don't go to the movies, I just write them.
Say, have you seen my six convicts that your studio just made? I'm in it, you know.
Hey, now, what's the matter? What's the matter, honey? Is he bothering you?
Get out of my way before I push your teeth down your throat.
Oh, tough guy, eh?
Come on, Sam, come on.
Oh, girlie, can I check my hat and coat?
Yeah, sure.
And this book?
Certainly. Oh, Alethea Bruce. I read that book.
Did you? Did you like it?
Like it? I flipped over it. I got it at my circulating library. It was worth every bit of 9 cents.
I'm looking for Mr. Mel Lipman. Did he come in the restaurant yet?
What's he look like?
He's short, fat, about 50, with a 10% look in his eye.
Oh, an agent. Oh, is this him coming this way now?
Yeah.
Dix, where have you been?
I overslept.
Did you read the book?
I got as far as page one and then felt like throwing up.
Couldn't have been the book. Must have been something you ate. Listen, I read that book last night and I couldn't put it down until I cried up 6 handkerchiefs.
What a laundry bill you're going to have.
Look, I'm waiting here for Lloyd, the producer. As long as you haven't read it, it would be silly to have this conference. I think you better go home and read the book first. I'll stall until he comes.
Okay, I'll leave.
I'll go back to the bar.
And my hat and coat, girlie.
Oh, I'm going so soon?
Hmm.
Well, here you are. Hat, coat, and a book.
You still think this is a great book, huh?
About the best I've ever read.
What's your name?
Mildred Atkinson.
Would you like me to drive you home, Mildred?
Thank you very much, but I have a date with my boyfriend, Henry.
Well, you can break it.
Break it?
Hmm.
What for?
Well, I haven't got time to read this book, so why don't you come over to my place and tell me the story? I'll pay you for your time.
You'll pay me just to tell you how the book goes?
Well, you'll never get an offer as respectable.
You think I oughta?
Well, couldn't you use a new dress, a pair of shoes?
Could I? Okay. I'll phone Henry and tell him a story. Not the same one I'm going to tell you, of course.
Oh.
Bennett.
Good morning, Dix.
Hi, Bob, come in. You know, since you became a cop, we haven't seen each other socially. What's the matter? Park my car in the wrong place?
No, it's not a social call, Dix. The captain sent me over to pick you up.
Pick me up? Why?
I gotta arrest you, Dix.
For what?
Suspicion of murder.
Murder? Is this a gag?
No, it's no gag, Dix. Was there a girl here with you last night named Mildred Atkinson, a hat check girl?
Yes, but only for a little while.
She was found dead at 2 o'clock this morning in Benedict Canyon, strangled.
Strangled?
Yeah, thrown out of a car. Better get dressed and come along.
Sit down, Mr. Steele.
Thanks, Captain.
Now, wouldn't you say that taking a checkroom girl home for the purpose of hearing a story was rather an eccentric thing to do?
I'd say it was a practical thing to do. She'd read the book and I hadn't.
Did you give her any money?
$20.
What for?
Cab fare.
Quite a lot for a taxi ride, isn't it?
She did me some favorable service. I felt she earned it.
You know, you puzzle me, Mr. Steele. You don't even seem shocked.
Call me guilty of lack of emotions. How many years do I get for that?
Bring in Miss Gray, Sergeant.
Right, Captain. In there.
Yes, sir. I don't understand.
Sit down, Miss Gray.
Yes, sir.
Take a look at this man. Ever seen him before?
Dixon Fleming.